Well, if you have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 9, you may find that useful this morning as we consider this familiar passage of the feeding of the 5,000. And when I was preparing this message and looking at this section of Scripture, I was uncertain which way to go with it. We could say that here we see Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep, or we could say that we see Christ as the great king hosting a banquet in the kingdom of God. We see the shepherd imagery, for example, in that the crowd of 5,000 men are gathered by the voice of the shepherd. Just as the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow the shepherd's voice, so the men have gathered around Jesus, having heard his teaching ministry. John's gospel, when it records this event, has the tantalizing detail that there was much grass in this place. And there's lots of sweets in this place. And here is the feeding of the 5,000 folks. This is God's word. This is the shepherd feeding the flock. This is the people coming before God. And here is Christ, the good shepherd. And he is speaking, and he is ministering, and he is bringing his word. The other way to understand this is to see Jesus Christ as the king hosting a feast, feeding his people, satisfying his people. And it's a picture of the kingdom of God. And this is the way that I want to go with this morning, because here is Jesus, and he says to the people in verse 44, make them sit down. They're eating with God. They're fellowshipping with God. Here is heavenly food. This is not earthly food. This is heavenly food that Jesus is providing. For Jesus looked up to heaven and gave thanks for the food, as if to indicate that this food was coming from God. As indeed it is, because there's no other explanation for how so little is able to fill and satisfy so many. This theme of God providing a banquet in the wilderness is found in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 25, which says that one day God will provide a banquet which will feed the nations of the world. And this feeding of the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9 is a taster event. This is a picture of what is to come. And this is the way we're going to look at it. The king spreading a feast for his people. The king inviting this great crowd. We'll come to the size of the crowd in a moment or two. But here is the king feeding his people. As we come to church to feed upon the king's word, as we come to church to hear what God has to say to us, to give our attention to God, and to hear his message for our lives. The first thing I want you to see this morning as we address this kingdom of God theme as it comes here is that this is a welcoming kingdom. It says in chapter 9, verse 2, he sent the apostles out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In verse 11, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. People are being drawn in by this message of the kingdom of God. They're interested. They're intrigued. They're probably scundered by the kingdom of Rome that they're living under, a kingdom that was brutal, a kingdom that was unfeeling, a kingdom that was a place of power politics. And the people are scundered. They're hearing about the kingdom of God, just as many in our country are scundered by the politics of our day and the kingdom of our day, the petty bickering, the broken promises, the immoral laws that are being passed. We're looking for another kingdom when we complain about our politicians and our politics. Jesus says to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." But the disciples, in contrast, want to send the crowd away. It's late in the afternoon. The shops will soon be closing, etc., etc. But instead of dismissing this crowd, Jesus wants to dine with the crowd. Jesus wants to provide for the crowd. He wants to show them they're welcome, that he's interested in them, that material needs matter to him as well as their spiritual needs. That's why it's just not souls that we're told about here. It's also bodies, because Jesus is healing the bodies of men and of women. And you know, we ought never to forget that the kingdom of God is an inviting and a welcoming kingdom. That the great host should invite sinners like you and sinners like me to sit down with him, to eat with him, to dine with him. The great host, the great provider, the great welcomer of sinners. "Come to me, all you who are laden and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." And this is why it's so important for the local congregation to be a welcoming congregation. Because if Jesus is welcoming to sinners, then the people who follow Jesus must be welcoming to sinners. He's not sending people away. He's not driving them away or turning his back on them or regarding them as a drain. Sinners Jesus will receive, says the hymn writer. "Tell this word of grace to all. This can bring them back again. Christ receiveth sinful men." And he is the prince of the kingdom of God, and he's hosting this feast that will provide for 5,000 men at least. A lot more women and children could have been added in. So the first thing is that the kingdom of God here is a welcoming kingdom. The second thing is that this is a believing kingdom, verses 16 and 17. "Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." Let's remember that this is perhaps the Lord's most well-known of all his miracles. It's certainly the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. So there's a special significance to this miracle, as if to draw our attention to it, that this is one that's to be noted above all others. 5,000 men fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish with 12 baskets of broken pieces left over. They had more food at the end of the banquet than they had at the start of the banquet. Where did it all come from? Well, we live in a day that's very skeptical about creation. All sorts of people scoff at the idea of God creating something, this world, out of nothing. And all the scientists, many of them queue up, not all of them, many of them queue up. Many scientists are Christian believers, but many of the most militant queue up to scoff at any idea of creation. But here, as Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and provides food for 5,000, what we have here is Jesus creating, basically out of nothing, to feed 5,000. And if we don't see this, we miss the point of what is going on here. Bishop Ryle says of Christ, "When he wills a thing, it shall be done. When he commands a thing, it shall come to pass. He can create light out of darkness, order out of disorder, strength out of weakness, joy out of sorrow, and food out of nothing at all." It's ironic that he says to the disciples in verse 13, "You give them something to eat." What they had was pitiful. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so often in church life, we look at our resources and we feel it's pitiful. The need is so great. How is so little going to feed so many? How are we who are so few going to do so much that needs to be done? And often in church life, we're presented with these sorts of challenges, aren't we? Jesus saying to us, you give them something to eat, and we say, we've hardly anything. What can we do? We're so few in terms of the size of the task that needs to be done. Is there not a lesson here that whilst you and I may feel inadequate and poorly resourced and pitifully weak, that if we offer to the Lord what we have, it may be very little, but if we offer to the Lord what we have, there is no telling what God is able to do with it. How far he will take you, how much he will use you. We're told here that in verse 16, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And it seems that this looking up to heaven brings the power of God into the situation, overruling limitations, transforming finite resources into seemingly infinite resources. The meager becomes the much, the pitiful becomes the plenty. I believe this is a lesson for us in the significance and the power of looking to heaven, of looking for God to come, for God to act, for God to provide, for God to help. There are no limits with God. There are no boundaries, no restrictions with God. If Jesus prayed, how much more ought we to pray? To look to heaven, to believe in this kingdom, and to see God as able to meet our needs. It's a welcoming kingdom, it's a believing a kingdom, but the most significant thing of all about this feeding of the 5,000 is that it is a satisfying kingdom. This is the main lesson coming out here of this feeding of the 5,000. Food for 5,000 men. Some men can shift a lot of food. 5,000 men. What I love about this is that the scriptural writer, as he writes this up, makes the point that this crowd was basically men. I just love the fact that the preaching ministry of Jesus Christ was drawing in men. The vast majority of this crowd, there probably were women present, there probably were children present, but the ministry of Christ, it must have been a masculine ministry that appealed to men. And 5,000 of them had gathered to hear him preach. And when he says to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50, this, I think, brings home to us how big this crowd was. If he makes them sit down in groups of about 50, do the mathematics, this means there were about 100 groups of 50. 100 groups of 50. It must have looked like an army across the hillside. Some people in church life can be very dismissive of people being organized. This is an army organized by Jesus, 100 groups of 50. It's not wrong to be organized or to be planned or to have things in order. And after the meal is over, having fed 5,000 men, they go round with a basket. Each of the disciples have a basket, and they go round and they collect 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. A clear sign that everyone was satisfied. There was a contentment. There was a filling. That Jesus, the bread of life, had supplied people in their place of wandering, in their place of emptiness, in their place of lostness. Jesus had satisfied them. Think where people try to find satisfaction. Their work. The bottle. Websites. Hobbies. Sports, eating experiences, gambling, relationships, drugs, music. All of those things can satisfy up to a point for a time. But the gospel, and Jesus is displaying it here for us, offers a satisfaction that goes on and on and on. That's why Isaiah 25, the banquet that Isaiah talks about in the kingdom of God, part of it is the banishing of death and the wiping away of every tear. It's an eternal banquet. And this meal that these men are enjoying, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish feeding 5,000, is a taster of the banquet that is to come. You know, sometimes you go into a supermarket and they're advertising a product and there's a person behind a little booth and they have little cups or little plastic dishes, and in it is a square of cheese or a piece of chocolate or a biscuit or something, and they want you to taste it. And then when you taste it, you say, yeah, that tastes really good. And they say, well, go home and here's one of the packets or here's one of the things that you should buy. The taster is intended that you should buy in to the whole product. This, as Jesus feeds 5,000, is the taster that these men should buy in to the whole product, to the whole banquet that is on offer. For now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Of course, not everybody bought in. Herod, verse 7, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Herod is not at the banquet because Herod is guilty. Herod is perplexed, says the NIV, because he had beheaded John. The voice of God had been coming to him, and he had disbelieved the voice of God. He had refused the voice of God, and he was not able to find the truth as a result of that. We're told that he tried to see him. But he didn't. Disbelieving. And so unsatisfied. And so excluded from the kingdom of God. Not everybody ends up at the banquet in the kingdom of God. But for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst, they find that this king satisfies at the banquet of the kingdom of God. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. And when you get saved, what happens is you get a foretaster. And it doesn't mean when you get saved that you're forever then on the rest of your life, satisfied. And life means you're always satisfied from then on. Not at all. But it gives you a taster of an eternal banquet, and you trust one day that banquet will be unveiled. And you have discovered something in yourself that God has given to you that you say, this is the truth that I have been looking for. This is the man who offers and who has given me a foretaste of the powers that are to be revealed, and I am going to commit my life to this man. This is a kingdom worth finding, worth experiencing, and worth entering into. You see, it doesn't really matter. Do we go with the shepherd in the place of much grass, feeding the vast flock? Or if we go with the king hosting a banquet, providing bread and meat, the point is the same. This king satisfies his people. And his people are the ones who believe on him and commit their lives to him. Could I ask you, are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Have you been added into this kingdom? Or if you prefer, are you a sheep in the flock of the shepherd? Because this portion of Scripture is showing us all today that here is the true king who satisfies. There isn't an earthly politician or an earthly monarch or an earthly president who will satisfy you. They'll all let you down. General election coming up this year, they'll let you down. Barack Obama was swept into power 2 elections ago, and he was going to change the world. He is just a letdown, the Americans say. His presidency is running out of steam, and yet he was going to be some great hope. They're all the same. Because if we place our hope in men, men are sinful and men let us down. But here is the sinless man who offers eternal food and who says, if you put your hope in me, if you trust in me, if you feed at my banquet, I will never, ever let you down. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. They must have been staggered. They must have been. These were the same men who had said, we've only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are they amongst so many? And at the end of the meal, there's more food left at the end than what they'd started with, as I said earlier. That's amazing. But this is the grace of Jesus Christ. It is unending. It is plentiful. It is merciful. And it's on offer. If you don't have it, seek him out today. Dine with the king today. Sometimes this is a portion of Scripture that is preached on at a communion service. I'm glad I'm not preaching on it at a communion service, because the implication then is that if you take communion, you're dining with the king. Not necessarily. Those who dine with the king are those who repent of their sins, those who trust in Christ and commit their lives to Christ and eat the Lord, his body, and drink his blood by faith. And if you are a member of his kingdom today, could I say to you, do you practice satisfaction? Very easy to be caught up in the world and the adverts. They're always bombarding us and telling us what we have to have and telling us that this is the secret to happiness or this is the secret to this. And we're being continuously made to feel unsatisfied, unhappy, and unfulfilled. And even the best of Christians can get caught up And if we're not doing this, or if we're not doing that, or if we're not driving this or that, or living here or there, or having holidays here, you're not fulfilled. Well, our fulfillment is Christ. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. He is your satisfaction. Rest in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for the tremendous stillness here this morning, Lord, in First Ochakle, as we have sat before the King and listened to the word of the King, and as we have fed upon the bread of life as it has come to us from the throne room of the King, as it were. And Father, no preacher can adequately expound or explain this portion of Scripture. For here we see the perfect King. Here we see the perfect man. Here we see his deity on display as well as his humanity. And our Father, we fall down before you and we praise you and we worship you for your Son, for how he is our salvation, how he is our satisfaction, and how in him and in him alone we find a joy that can know no limit, a lightness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. Father, help us, we pray, to find in him our satisfaction. Continue with us, Lord, as we close our service together, and we pray these things in his name. Amen.